Last week we had kind of a surprise. We were supposed to listen to Rodney Hart Brown last week, and so we talked about prayer. So if you know me at all, I never do things in ones. Terry knows if she asks me to pick something up at the store, I always get two of everything. So I want to speak on prayer again tonight because it's very important that we pray. I said it's very important that we pray. No matter how much you're praying, you can always afford to pray more. Not you're trying to earn anything. You're just trying to build a close relationship with Christ so that he can get his work done. Because I'm convinced more and more that God does what he does through the prayers of man. Amen. So if you were here last week, we talked about there's no end date to the covenantal prayer, the covenant that God has made with us. There's no end date. It's not about a contract. It's about a covenant, a promise that we partner with Christ in prayer, that he is our prayer partner, but he's also the one who made the covenant with us. He's both the covenant maker and the covenant keeper. And we talked about the promise of the law written in our hearts, us having a unique relationship with him, that we know the knowledge of the Lord. Scripture says the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Amen? The glory of God, the knowledge of the Lord. We also talked about the forgiveness of sin, that he is faithful and just to forgiveness, forgive us of our sins, and that we have an eternal inheritance in Christ. God intends to bless us not only now. Sunday we talked about being blessed in this life and the one to come. Having authority in this life and the one to come. So that's a wonderful thing. And as I was preparing, I ran across this little blurb about a man named David Brainerd. How many have heard of David Brainerd? He's a prayer warrior and lived from 1718 to 1747. He died when he was 29 years old, but he shook the world. Shook the world. He was, let me read this. David Brainerd was a missionary to American Indians. He saw a revival break out and change an entire tribe. He had a lot of going for him. David was engaged to Jonathan Edwards' daughter, Jerusha, which I just found out today. I wasn't aware of that. He was young. He loved the Lord. He had a desire to see the unreached reach for Christ. However, he died of 29 of tuberculosis. He wouldn't submit to doctors who told him to quit reaching out to the American Indians. He would ride horseback for miles and miles, no matter the weather. He slept on the ground. Often he would kneel in the snow and pray to the Lord. His fervor for the Indian salvation and God's glory was so great that when he finished, heat from his body had melted all of the snow within 2 feet of him. Many missionaries of the past and present have been influenced by the life of David Brainerd, portrayed in his diary. You can get it on, if you have Kindle, you can get the prayer life of David Brainerd by Jonathan Edwards. You can get that book for free on Kindle. I suggest you do. And one thing that David said was this: I love to live on the brink of eternity. Can you imagine living on the brink of eternity? Isn't that wonderful? So that's something to shoot for. Most of us made it past 29, though, didn't we? I think everybody here is past 29, aren't we? Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for our prayer life. Thank you that you communicate with us such a wonderful way in prayer. And God, that you have made a valuable truth to us, God, that we can change things in our own life, in our area of influence, in our country, in this world, Father, through prayer. Father, you have promised us that whatever we ask in prayer, believing that we receive it, we'll get it. So we thank you for that, Lord. Enhance our prayer life as we study this awesome exercise. Father, help us to extend and be people of prayer as we watch your kingdom come and your will be done on this earth. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. quote from John of Antioch in the 4th century church. He said, "The potency of prayer has subdued the strength of fire. It has bridled the rage of lions, hushed anarchy to rest, extinguished wars, appeased the elements, expelled demons, burst the chains of death, expanded the fates of heaven, dispelled frauds, got rid of diseases, rescued cities from destruction, stayed the sun in its course, and arrested the progress of the thunderbolt. There is in prayer an all-sufficient Penelope, a treasure undiminished, a mind which is never exhausted, a sky unobscured by clouds, a heaven unruffled by the storm. It is the root, the fountain, the mother of a thousand blessings." How many know prayer is an awesome thing? Prayer is an awesome thing. We shouldn't take it too lightly. And, you know, I was thinking we have two prayer partners that are always with us. We are never praying alone. How many know we're never praying alone? If we're alone in our prayer closets, there are two that are with us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 if you got your Bibles tonight, and you should, either your Bible or your device. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Who is he who condemns?" In verse 34, "It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." So right here we see two partners in intercession. They're pretty good partners too. One is the Spirit of God, and the other is none other than Jesus Christ himself. The Holy Spirit, our paraclete, is one called alongside of. John 14:16, Jesus promised he would send another helper. When Christ, the first paraclete, the first helper, left, he sent us another. Jesus Christ first makes intercession at the throne. He is our advocate before the throne. Christ's intercession is apart from us. It doesn't matter if we're praying or not, Christ is praying for us. How many know Jesus is always making intercession for us before the throne? Whether we follow him or not, whether we are hot or cold, he is continually interceding for us. John 17:9, he says, "I pray for those who you have given me." And so he's forever making intercession. Nothing we can do to hinder, can hinder or touch that intercession he's doing. He does that independent of our hearts. Because in the covenant that he made with us, he promised us he would pray for us. How many know Jesus is always praying for us? He has on his prayer list you all the time. That's pretty neat. You know, sometimes when you meet somebody and you share a problem with them, they'll say, "I'll pray for you," and you wonder if they ever did. How many have been on the other side when people say, give you a problem or a prayer request, you say, "I promise I'll pray," and you forget all about it? And later on, you may be in a conversation with them. They'll say, "Thank you so much. I can feel your prayers. I've been healed or I've been touched or my prayer has been answered." And you've forgotten you never prayed for them. Come on, somebody. All of us have experienced both sides of that. How many know Jesus is always making intercession for us? Unfailing. Unfailing. He's always there. So his prayers are apart from us. But the Holy Spirit, his intercession must include us. The Holy Spirit does not pray independent from us. Christ makes us the object of his prayers. The Holy Spirit makes us the vehicles of his praying. The Holy Spirit wants to pray through us. He prays on our behalf, helping weaknesses and enabling us when we do not know how to pray, but he prays within us. He interacts, he uses our voice box, he uses our emotions, he uses our, if we'll yield to him, he is always praying when we will pray. The life possessed by the Spirit is the channel of the Spirit's intercession. You know, when we intercede, the Holy Spirit is praying through us. There's no better prayer than to allow the Spirit of God to direct our prayers, for who knows the Spirit, who knows God's mind, except the Spirit of God. He's forever making intercession through His people that are yielding to Him. The Holy Spirit never intercedes again except through us. We do the crying that is Spirit-inspired. You know, some people say, well, when I pray in the Spirit, I don't know what I'm praying. Well, good. The Holy Spirit knows what you're praying. I mean, you know, sometimes we don't need to know what we're praying. God is using us in intercession. Romans 8:16 does not say that the Spirit bears witness to our spirit, but with our spirit. So when we're praying in the Spirit, there's a difference in praying in the Spirit and with the Spirit. Turn with me to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6:17. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll soon be there in a couple months. How many are enjoying our travel through Ephesians? It's been interesting, and I've really appreciated the input from other folks. We have some preachers in our midst and people looking at scriptures very differently. It's been neat. Ephesians 6:17 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So praying in the Spirit. Jude chapter 20, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So here in Ephesians and in Jude, it talks about praying in the Spirit. That's when we use our prayer language. We pray and allow the Spirit of God to speak through us. And as I said, when He prays through us, the prayer is directed exactly what God wants. We couldn't be any more in the will of God than when we're praying in the Spirit. We don't need to be afraid of being out of the will of God when we're praying in the Spirit. Because if you're engaging yourself to be used by God to pray and praying in the Spirit, that is God praying His exact will through us, getting things done. I don't know how or why He enacts that. I'd much rather let Him work it out and just tell me later. But He works through me to get the job done. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 says, test the spirits when we pray. And usually that's talking about not evil spirits, but human spirits with that manifest spiritual gifts. We live in a world that, because maybe we're lacking in prayer, have less understanding, we'll just buy somebody's prophetic word or somebody's teaching because they sound good or because they have a following. How many know we need to test the spirits? Come on, someone. We need to test the spirits. Even if we've heard somebody time and time again, we need to pray and make sure that it's God speaking through them. Paul says, I will pray with the Spirit and with understanding, or with the mind. Praying is only sometimes with the Spirit in tongues, but at all times in the Spirit. So when we're praying with the Spirit of God, we're praying in tongues, allowing the Spirit to use us, and we're praying in English, the Spirit is guiding us and agreeing with us. And I don't know of any more powerful praying than when we pray, we know that we're in the will of God. Jesus is making the same prayer at the throne. The Father is receiving the prayer from Jesus, listen, and from the Holy Spirit using us. How many know that prayer is going to be answered? And if we could get a revelation, we get a fresh revelation of that, we'd find ourselves many more times before the throne praying with Jesus through the Holy Spirit to the Father and receiving the answers to prayer. Key is, Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's key. And when we're praying in the Spirit of God or with the Spirit of God, that job is going to get done. That's the most productive time of our day, is when we're talking with God. Because listen, I can have conversations with human beings. Many times human beings tell me they're going to do something and it never gets done. Come on, somebody. Even us will say we'll do something and, you know, we put it off and procrastinate. How many know God never procrastinates? He may be later than you think He is, but that's not procrastination. So we're praying in the Spirit and with the Spirit. And then the Spirit of God promises that He'll help us in our weaknesses. Now, what are our weaknesses? Praying. Come on, if we admit it, we're weak in the area of prayer sometimes. Come on, somebody. We want it to be very quick. How many like the idea of microwave praying? Just pray real quick and then have God fill in the blanks. But it doesn't work that way. Sometimes it takes time to intercede and to pray. Sometimes it just takes time to settle our spirit so that we're in the mode of allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through us in perfection so that the things can get done. The Scripture says that we do not know how to pray as we ought in Romans chapter 6. The Spirit of God makes groanings for us that only He can utter. Sometimes when we read a book or have a need, we increase our prayers for a time and then it falls off. All of us are weak when it comes to prayer. Sometimes the Spirit, though, makes us strong. How does He do that? With groanings. You know, the Scriptures go so far as to say, he who prays in tongues edifies himself. What's that mean? It means to build oneself up in the Spirit of God. So that when we do pray, the time is shorter for getting us in the will of God, and we begin to exact our prayers pointedly to the throne where things are going to take place and prayers are going to be answered. We do not get out of a weakness without His help, by the way. Avoiding it's not going to help us get strong. We've got to allow God to address that in us. Apathy can be a great weakness as well. The excuse sometimes is we are too busy to pray. I forget who it was that said, I have so many things today, I've got to pray 4 hours before I start. Come on, someone. We've got to pray. The founder of my Bible school prayed 4 hours every morning. His family would get up and hear him shouting in tongues in a room that he made for his prayer closet. Gordon Lindsay. Prayed in the Spirit at least four hours every day. Come on, someone. He had some idiosyncrasies. His wife told the story about him showing up at a meeting. He got off a plane and he had one brown shoe and one black shoe on. You know, he wasn't very aware of the things in the physical, but in the spiritual, he got a hold of God and wouldn't let go. Come on, someone. We can never be too busy to pray. Never too busy to pray. Most of us make time for that which we want to do, but we ought to be people of prayer. Covenantal prayer is one thing, but we've got to enact it. It can be caused, sometimes our apathy can be caused by an unrepentant sin, and that's easily taken care of. The Spirit is an intercessor that allows us to be sons of the Father. The Spirit prays through us. Let's turn to Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4. And because you are sons, verse 6, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Where does that realization come? Allowing the Spirit of God to pray through us. So that we identify ourselves as sons of God. And you know, we need to put to rest this idea that we can't get through to God. How many know when we pray, God listens? It's not rocket science. When we talk to God, God listens just like we would listen if our children needed us. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So Christ is living in us. He sent His Spirit so that we could enact that prayer. His sacrifice gave us access, and the Holy Spirit gives us the power. Come on, somebody. His sacrifice has given us access to the throne, and the Holy Spirit gives us the power at the throne. We pray, and again, we agree with Christ, and the Holy Spirit is definitely in agreement with Jesus. The power of His presence comes forth. It's a conscious experience of divine fellowship. The Spirit gets us through to God every time. How many know? We just need to release that faith that says, you know what? When I pray, God listens. When I pray, God listens. This is not labor that I have to guess whether God received it or not. You know, people say sometimes, I hope that God heard my prayer. Sometimes we pray, if it be your will. How can this be effective prayer? Come on, someone. How can it be effective if we have to ask the question, if it be your will? If we're praying, it's God's will. Come on, someone. We have no intention of being rebellious. We have no intention of praying outside the will of God. So when we pray, when we cry out, when the Holy Spirit prays through us, our faith needs to get to the level of saying we are praying the will of God. If intercession is to be effective, it must be selective. We must make our prayers pointed to God and determine in our hearts to see that prayer come to pass. That's the energy that keeps people praying for hour after hour after hour, because they know the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. All of heaven begins to act on the words that we're speaking. Why? Because they're generated by the Holy Spirit, they're received by the Father, and Jesus is in agreement with us. What a powerful, powerful thing. What a powerful thing. Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, or I'm sorry, 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5. One of the things the enemy uses against us is innuendo. He makes us think that our prayers aren't effective, that either sin is standing in the way, or God doesn't want to hear our prayers, or our prayers are not good enough to be heard by God. How many know all he needs to do sometimes is make a suggestion? We listen to the innuendo and the suggestion over the confidence that we should have in Christ. Come on, someone. In moments of weakness, we all doubt. Wonder if God's, because you feel like the prophet that prayed, the heavens are brass above me and the earth is like iron underneath me. Nobody is listening to me. I pray that it feels like it bounces off the ceiling. But that couldn't be further from the truth. There's no prayer that's not heard by God. Listen to me. There's no prayer that we pray that's not heard by God immediately. How I know that is one of the reasons is 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. It says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Let me say it again. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. And it's almost too easy. If you read this, you go, well, if you hear me, why can't I just kind of spurt out a prayer? God, will you do this and be about my way? Because he's not only wanting us to pray, but in the time of prayer, building intimacy with him. That's why the model prayer includes praise. Our Father who art in heaven, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Come on, somebody. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All of our prayers and petitions are interjected by that knowledge that he's listening to us. And if he's listening to us, we're going to ask that his kingdom be extended. We're going to ask that his blessings be extended. We're going to spend time with him in intimacy, for we know the Spirit of God as the Spirit of God knows us. Someone has been sent that we might know the perfect will of God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, look over here in Romans 8. We made mention of it. But Romans 8, verse 26. Romans 8, I said it was Romans 6, excuse me. I think I said Romans 6, so if anybody's listening on the tape, it is Romans 8. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, cross-reference that to 1 John, what I just read. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, what? According to His will. So man, that's a home run every time. It's a home run every time. Our heart is clear before Him. We go before Him in prayer. Holy Spirit is making intercession with us, through us, and God is listening. Jesus is interjecting His will into that, and God is going to answer that prayer. But we need to realize that there's nothing more harmful than a guilt complex or a heart that condemns us concerning our faith in prayer. That'll soak prayer every time. It'll ruin our prayer time if we're dealing with the enemy. We need to put the enemy to flight. A lot of times people go to the throne and they're praying and they're talking to the enemy. No, you turn from the throne and tell the enemy to go. Tell the enemy to be quiet. When you're in intimate prayer with the Father, you're not doing warfare at the throne. Come on, somebody. We don't go to the throne to do warfare. There is no warfare at the throne. There is warfare in our life. And so we take authority, submit to God, resist the devil, he'll flee. So we turn from the throne and we command the devil to get his hands off our relationship, get his hands off our heart, get his hands off our stuff, get his hands off our health. Get rid of all that so that when we go to God, we are not having to fight our prayers being effective. Because the enemy will show up every time, and if he can dissuade us and shorten our prayer time or for us not praying at all, he'll continue to hit on that thing all the time. Because God works through prayer. And if prayer is not uttered, come on, somebody. If our prayers are to be effective, faith is imperative. The faith believing that the enemy is fleeing and God is listening. Wavering faith disqualifies us. Turn over to James. James. Everybody knows this verse. James chapter 1, James 1, 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. And so we just need to put doubt to flight. And who is the progenitor of doubt? Who is the issuer of doubt? The enemy. You know, we leave a meeting, we feel 10 foot tall and bulletproof, you know, and we get on our first little thing that the enemy attacks us on, and we begin to doubt, and he wins. May it never be. May it be that we put the enemy to flight. Sometimes we approach God timidly and apologetically. Like we're bothering him or something's going on. May it never be. We need to know and have confidence that we have in him. God asks us to pray. Whatever our need is, to come and pray. Whatever it is that's in our heart, to come and pray. What does he say? If you pray, if you'll ask me, ask the Father in my name, I will do it. To bring peace, to bring joy, come on. To bring comfort, to take care of problems. And of course, sometimes the answer is delayed, but it's not really delayed because God does everything in the fullness of time. Come on, someone. Of course, next is hindrances. We get hindrances all the time. We get all set, we're ready to pray, and that's why it's good to pray in the morning before anybody's up. Because you very seldom get any intrusions unless you're trying to pray with Facebook on and somebody posts at 3 o'clock in the morning. Come on, somebody. Come on, someone. That's why it's good to pray early in the morning because nobody else is up and they're not going to interrupt you. But you get all ready to pray, get all excited about praying, and the phone rings. Somebody comes unexpected, a visitor. Hunger strikes you. Gosh, this would be a good time to get a sandwich. Excuse me, Lord. And we never get back to prayer. The revelation that God has allowed things in our prayer life to strengthen us can transfigure our problems right before our eyes. There are always going to be problems that we face, but God has given us the strength and the courage to overcome the problems. Peter addresses it. He says, "Think it not strange when you fall into fiery trials." What are some of those fiery trials? Our prayer life. We go to pray and things get all discombobulated. Weariness could be another thing that attacks us. What better way to fall asleep than praying? Don't feel bad about falling asleep. If you're praying and you fall asleep, so much the better. Your subconscious mind then begins to pray. I know God talks to us in our dreams. Our spirit man knows how to pray. I believe our spirit man prays when we sleep. I want someone. We find ourselves back at that place, 1 John tells us, that we have confidence. Prayer becomes something that's solid in our lives. It's not a questioning time. It's a time where we do business with God. Turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. I know this is a lot of scripture, but you should be writing them down. You can look at it later. 1 Peter chapter 3. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Husband and wives need to be praying together, and if we can't, we need to pray that God will bring us together. One of the things the enemy would love to attack my wife and I is in our prayer life. Come on, somebody. But we need to be going to the throne together as husband and wives. Family members need to be praying together. Sometimes we pray with wrong motives, but God will straighten that out. Don't worry about it. When we pray, sometimes God says, "Now, I want to nudge you over this way." How many have felt that from the Lord? You begin to pray, God says, "I want to nudge you this way." James chapter 4 and verse 3 says, "We have not because we ask not, or we ask amiss." How many know? Sometimes we get stubborn and say, "God, this is what I want done," when we know darn well we get to check in the spirit that says that's not the way God wants you to go. I accepted a position years ago in Philadelphia, September 2000. And I said yes, Terry and I said yes to the position. We got home, literally walked in the door, and a man, matter of fact, it was Nancy Clark's father, George Veach, called me on the phone and said, "How you doing, young man?" I said, "I'm doing good." He says, "I got a church for you. I want you to pastor." And it was in upstate New York, and he said, "I think this is where you're supposed to be." How many know I had to hear from God in prayer? Man of God I respect very much, but he missed God because I had just said yes to a church and committed to 10 years. So unless they wanted to leave an opening at that church up in upstate New York, and a very good friend of ours went and pastored that church. But we need to hear God very clearly, and sometimes we ask amiss. If it's not God's will, it's not going to happen. All the prayer in the world is not going to change God's mind if it's not His will. Are you there? Of course, James goes on to say that you have not because you do not ask. Be careful you are praying for and not against what God's will is. Amen? Prayer is such a precious, precious gift that we have. Communication with God, building ourselves up on our most holy faith, Jude says. Praying in the Holy Spirit, building ourselves up, edifying ourselves, building our relationship with God so that we know His voice. We can't be tricked. We can't be fooled by a ventriloquist that Satan can be sometimes. Acting like and putting his place, putting his opinions in where they don't belong. That becomes impossible if we know the voice of God in prayer. Right away, we'll be able to pick out the enemy. We can't be fooled. And certainly in this hour, as we've often said, people are looking for the assurance of the believer in we know God's will and we're walking in that will. Amen? So all the other things aside, I love this scripture that says we have confidence that we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Isn't that precious? Isn't that precious? He hears us. Father God, I thank You tonight. Come on, let's pray together. Father, I thank You tonight that You hear the prayers of Your saints. Thank You, God, that we're Your children and You love us, God. And You make intercession before the throne, Jesus, at all times and in every place, God. No matter where we are or what we're doing in our lives, we know that there's someone that's watching over Your word to perform it in us. As You pray, God, Lord, let us have that confidence in You that when we pray, we're praying according to Your will and what You're praying for our lives. God, if there be any direction that You need to make adjustments in, Lord, help us to be yielding to that will. God, if there be any way in us where we've been stubborn and going our own way, catch us up even tonight, Father. Anybody listening to this message online would just catch themselves. And Lord, that we would be in Your will all the time praying. Holy Spirit, we thank You for the gift of prayer when You pray through us and we pray with You. Heavenly Father, thank You for receiving those prayers in a powerful way. And even tonight, Lord, we're believing that, Lord, You're bringing revival to our area. Even tonight as we pray, God, and we pray with the Spirit of God, Lord, that You would bring revival, that You would revive Your church, that You would extend Your grace to the prodigal and to the backslider, that You would bring them back to You, Father. Envelope them in Your love. Let them know You love them, God. And for those that we are interceding for and praying for, God, that they would not get away from You, God, that You would catch them right where they're at, our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our friends that we're praying for. God, that You would allow them the privilege of what we have. God, that we would not take for granted this preciousness that You've created in prayer. God, as we pray, Father, we have every confidence that You're leaning Your ear toward us and that You're answering those prayers. I pray for each and every one here tonight, God, that where they are in their prayer life, that You would give them great confidence and boldness to continue on to press through to the answer. Thank You, Lord. We bless You, Father. We give You all the glory and the honor for Your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.